kind of want to say, woo. It's been said that familiarity can lead to contentment, and if not checked, contentment can lead to complacency. So I wonder, what if at times during the course of our Sunday morning worship services together here at St. Cuthbert, I wonder with reciting the same old liturgical prayers, singing hymns and songs of praise, coming forward every Sunday to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, I wonder if at times going through these motions week in and week out, if they don't all somehow become just routine for us, maybe even familiar with us. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's something very significant in saying, reciting together traditional liturgical prayers, prayers that have been said for centuries, and singing great hymns of faith that have carried over generation after generation. I think that's very meaningful and significant. But I wonder if sometimes does our worship to God become perhaps too familiar and can lead to contentment, and without really being checked, lead to complacency in our faith. Because if it does, we run the risk of losing what is truly most important in coming together to worship the Lord. What we lose is that understanding of God's real Holy Spirit abiding presence that becomes made manifest upon our souls as we open our hearts and share our expression of faith with each other. He is present. And this is why I am so thankful for the week of VBS that we had, because there was nothing familiar with that week. You know, the kids, they get this. They're certainly far from perfect, but when it comes to praising the Lord, they get it. And I'm thankful that we can bring the experience of this past week into this Sunday morning at this experience with everything that's here and the songs that we are singing. Certainly not very familiar at all. Praise God. Even I'm not sure what's going to happen next. Woo! But speaking of familiarity, perhaps when we heard that gospel reading this morning, the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, yeah, I've heard that parable so many times. I know what that is all about. It's about being good to others, especially those who differ from us. And, you know, Jesus is raising the bar and he's telling us that we need to be good to others. Yes, I've heard it so many times before. I got it. And that could be an example of being too familiar with this important parable that Jesus taught. And if that's the case, we could miss out on what God's holy spiritual presence wants to make manifest upon our souls today. And so with renewed ears, I ask that we have an openness to God's real abiding presence among us and open our hearts, maybe in a way that we've never done before, to allow this important story to touch us and how God wants to speak into our souls through his abiding word. And with that, there are three important areas I want us to look at this story. And the first is about embracing. how we embrace the magnitude of God's mercy upon our life. The second is about responding. How do we respond to Jesus' command to go and do likewise? Tell that elephant the sermon gets better. Thirdly, the elephant collapsed. I thought it was the 8 o'clock service for a second there. But the first is about embracing. The second is about responding, how we respond to go and do likewise. And the third is about identifying just who is our neighbor. And with these three concepts in mind, they go a long way to how we open our hearts to God and to each other in worship, to receive His actual Holy Spirit presence upon our life. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in amazing ways this morning and deepen our faith as we look to this important parable that Jesus taught. And let's begin with the initial question posed to Jesus. Just who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered by sort of describing an event. There was a Jewish man from Jerusalem, and he was traveling down to Jericho. He fell victim to robbers who beat him within an inch of his life, took everything he had, left him on the side of the road for dead. And you know, this guy was launching some pretty hefty prayers to God. Lord, please send someone to help me now. Doesn't get any more desperate than that. And with that prayer, two devout religious persons separately walked past and towards this man. And they saw him laying on the side of the road, and what did they do? They walked over to the other side of the road and kept walking, as if to avoid him altogether. Now, what in the world were they thinking? Were they reasoning that, well, maybe this guy deserved what he got? You know, probably hanging out with the wrong crowd or something like that. Maybe he just made some bad choices in life. You know, maybe they were thinking, you know, we see so much violence and strife and injustice in the world. Maybe they just became accustomed to experiencing it. You know, familiarity leads to complacency. Maybe they thought, what difference can I possibly make in this world for this person? But then a non-Jewish person from Samaria came by. And he was moved with so much pity that he went out of his way to help this Jew. Now, as you may know, Samaritans back then were not liked by Jews. As a matter of fact, they were despised by Jews. They were the kind of person you did not want to associate with. You know, they didn't live their lives the right way. They were unclean in their sins towards God. You know, they just were not the respectable person that we would want to associate with. We don't like them because they have different ideologies. And again, if we think of this story as a story about being nice to people, especially to those who differ from us, then we've missed the point of the story. This story is about Jesus. This story is about God's mercy and grace. Because Jesus is our good Samaritan. And out of compassion, we are offered God's mercy. And the only way that we can fully embrace the magnitude of God's amazing love is to look to the cross of Jesus. who sacrificially gave of himself in order to set us free. And the important thing about all of this is we don't have to fully understand what that means. We don't have to try to explain it all in detail what that means. We merely have to accept this as truth, eternal truth, in faith. Now, in the story, when the Samaritan not only helped this troubled Jew, but he helped with extended care, his medical help and support. And if you think about it, that action alone does not make any logical sense. Why would a Samaritan help a Jew? Yet this is the miracle of God's grace. The victimized Jew knew who he was to receive the Samaritan's care. He didn't have to try to understand all of it. He merely accepted it as grace. And the same thing happens to us when we look to the cross of Jesus. In faith, we accept his love and forgiveness as he saves and restores our souls to new life. He is our Lord and Savior. As we heard from our second reading from Colossians, those last two verses, verses 13 and 14 read to us. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the importance of accepting Jesus' mercy upon our souls. So secondly, it's about our response to this wonderful gift that God offers to us in Jesus. As Jesus commanded us to go and do likewise. Our response is not just our thought that maybe we should do something special. You know, with God's help, I'll try the best that I can. You know, our response is an empowerment in the Holy Spirit to be grounded in such a way that facing Jesus on the cross should spiritually move us with such compassion that we cannot do anything else but without a purpose of joy and thankfulness for all he has done for us. And we cannot explain it. We merely have to accept it in faith. Accept it with a renewed heart to go and do likewise. This should be a natural response for us. Why are you doing this? I don't know, but I feel so blessed. Pure joy. Again, the Apostle Paul's words from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Everything that we do, whether it's attending church or inviting someone else to attend church, whether it's serving on one of our ministries as an usher or altar guild or even helping out with VBS, everything we do out of an expression of joy and thankfulness for what God's mercy has done for us. As 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 remind us, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Where do you need to receive God's mercy? Where do you need to express God's mercy to go and do likewise? Giving is as powerful as receiving. Thirdly, it's about identifying just who is my neighbor. You know, in one of our Eucharistic prayers that we often say, we affirm in that prayer as we pray to God and out of an expression of thankfulness. When we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, God, in your mercy sent Jesus Christ to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. God is in Jesus. He is at one with God. But Jesus is also at one with us. And the most basic statement of faith that we can affirm is that the great Almighty God of the universe is personally and spiritually joined with us. Praise God. You know, we can't explain this. We can only accept this in faith. But you know, if we had to put a human face on who Jesus is, look around at the people next to you. Look around in their eyes and at their heart. Jesus is within and among us. And we are with him. Jesus is our neighbor. And his love endures forever. As Moses came to believe in our first Old Testament reading, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. And in observation, let's embrace God's mercy. Let's respond to go and do likewise. And let's identify Christ in each other. Let's open our hearts to God's amazing grace as we worship him in pure joy as the Lord of our life. Amen.